Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna. What's up, Flavor Fest family? The last couple of weeks has been heavy for a lot of us as we've watched our timelines on social media, as we watch the news flooded once again with injustice, with violence, with murder, with racism, with prejudice, with discrimination, all that stuff that so many of us have either personally experienced or we have family members and friends that have experienced some really ugly things. And so it just brings up all this emotion. And a lot of us, frankly, are just exhausted. We're tired to see this stuff continuing to keep happening. It's like another like replay of, we just saw this like five times before. Like, can't believe it's still happening. And but it is. But we got to talk about it. We got to stand up. We got to fight for justice. And it seems like there has been, at least what I've noticed, more and more people are speaking out against it. People in a lot of different positions of power and privilege and influence. And so that's encouraging. And, you know, there is movement happening quicker with some of the people that are doing some of these things and versus maybe there was a few years ago. And I believe a lot of that is because of people, you know, speaking up and using their platforms. And so here at Flavor Fest, and Crossover Church, we're always going to use our platform to fight for justice and equality. And that's such an important thing. We actually just did a message at our church on James chapter 2. We're in the book of James, and it just so happened that chapter 2 happened. That was the next week when all this stuff started to hit. And the beginning of James chapter 2, it talks about prejudice and not favoring some people over others because of the way they look, the way they dress, or what they have or what they don't have. And so we dug into that. We had a panel with a couple of different people in the church and shared some of their experiences and some of the things we think it's going to take to help us continue to push the ball forward towards reconciliation and healing. And so today on the podcast, it's our first time to ever do a part two. And we had Myron Pierce on last week, and we have him back on again this week. And in particular, we're going to talk about some of these issues of race and injustice. And he just wrote a book that's totally about that. And so you guys aren't a stranger to Myron. You already, if you listened to last week, if you didn't, go back and listen to it. But just an amazing pastor, entrepreneur, a guy that has a heart for advocacy. And so let's go talk to Myron. All right, so we back at it, man. Part two.
I got it, bro.
The interview. You're the first dude that we did two parts with.
Hey.
You got so much good stuff to say, man.
Yeah.
So seriously, last time we got together and it was through Zoom because you were all the way in Omaha, Nebraska. We were here in Tampa. But now, like in the middle of this COVID thing, like you're here in Tampa, like taking a little break from some stuff. And so this has been, for all of us as leaders, it's been a lot of new stuff to navigate.
Right.
And we've had to pivot, right?
Yeah.
So when we talked last time, we talked entrepreneurship, church planning, some of your testimony and your story, but so much more has unfolded then, man.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit how you guys have navigated COVID-19 with your businesses, with the church, with all the people you pour into.
Yeah, bro. I think, well, from a business standpoint, one of the things that I saw, like just in the spaces I'm in, is a lot of people, you know, whose maybe companies were deemed non-essential. If they didn't have a strategy for marketing or social media marketing,
yeah,
they tanked, bro. So like one of my companies, you know, our digital marketing agency just went through the roof. And all of a sudden I find myself, really doing pretty good with our social media company, but now it's just gone to the next level. So we've been able to help a lot of companies, organizations, and even churches think through, you know, like how do we navigate this thing, you know, in COVID-19? And it's been a blessing to the church, really. You know, when I started my agency, a couple of years back, one of the reasons why I started the agency was to help churches, because I looked at the social media game of the church and it was like whack, bro. So just straight up.
I know, man.
You know what I mean? Just horrible, like negative 3 likes. I mean, just can't even get negative 3 likes. In my mind, it's like, you need a negative 3, bro. And so I launched this company and went to the church, Big C Church, and was like, yo, man, I want to be a blessing. And it was like negative. And so I did my Paul thing and went to the Gentiles, you know, went to the business world, and they just loved me. But when COVID hit, it was a beautiful thing, because I was, at least in my city, like positioned to really help the church think critically and strategically about how do we function as the church in a COVID world. And the Lord really took me to Acts 1:8, bro. Like when he was like, yo, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And then when I read a couple chapters later, Acts 8:1, you just switched the numbers from 1:8 to 8:1.
Yeah.
And we see.
That's when they got scattered.
They scattered, bro. And so I'm like, wow, okay. Okay, we're in a scatter season. So how do we flex as a church, pivot as a church?
That's good.
And then how do we help churches? And it's been beautiful what's happened, actually.
Yeah, so man, tell me, like, for churches that are out there listening to this, like, what would be some nuggets of wisdom? Like, what should they do to get better at social media, their presence online? What's maybe a tip or two that they can maybe even apply and start working on now? Because before, a lot of churches, like, social media and their online presence was maybe like on the back burner.
Yeah.
Or was those people online were second class. Yeah. Right. But everything was about the in-person gathering. Now we don't have an in-person gathering. So now it's suddenly they've realized, like, oh my gosh, this is super important. We got to work on this. Where do we? And so a lot of churches are playing a lot of catch up right now. But what would be a couple of, a nugget or two that you could give to people, man, because I've learned a lot from you too.
Yeah. Well, one thing, bro, is this, is I've heard congregation members of my church and other pastors' churches say things like, man, I can't wait till we get back to normal.
Yeah.
And I think a real simple one is normal is never coming back.
Ooh, ouch.
And here's the reason why. I think the church is playing catch up on where the world has already been.
Yeah.
The world has already been social. The world has already been online. If you look, millennials and the generation after millennials, forgot what you call them.
Gen Z.
We're on our screens, bro.
Yeah.
We go to the movies. When even if you go to a fairly large church that has screens and the pastor is up there preaching,
You're looking at the screen.
Most of the time.
It's got better angles.
Yeah, it really
when
does.
The jib shot comes across, like, oh.
Right.
You know, or you get the close up and you can see the expression of the person's face more.
Straight up.
All that, yeah.
Yeah, so number one, normal's never coming back. And number two, we can't treat digital as a stepchild.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? I really do think, and one of the revelations I had, here's a third one, and we can move forward. When people ask me where are we located for our gatherings, I say, hey, we have a new address. We actually moved for a while. You can go to the address. You can go to www.thisismission.org. And so just really helping people minds to shift from, I don't think it's better. I think it's different. And I think as we help people understand different, like, and a lot of times what we do, even culturally, like, you know, if you go into a new culture and you don't understand the culture, we often demonize what we don't understand.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happened. And even in this whole digital thing, it's like, oh, some churches have been like, that's the devil or that's not for us. Or let's just wait this thing out till we get back to normal.
Yeah, but normal's not, it's not coming back. And recently, bro, I want to give you some props, some congrats. You were on a podcast, the Church Pulse Weekly podcast with Carrie Newhoff and David Kinnaman. One of the things you said, I think Carrie asked you, like, you think this is a, he's asked a lot of people this, you think this is an interruption or a disruption?
Yeah.
And talk about that a little bit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think it was?
Yeah, so he asked Tom Rainer that also. And I think Tom Rainer gave the he gave it, it depends on your position.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You gave it a solid answer.
I don't even remember what I said.
You said it's totally a disruption.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, it ain't going back to the normal.
No, it really is a disruption. Because, like, what happens in a disruption? Our paradigms get our paradigms get confronted. What we thought we knew, we didn't, right? And all of a sudden, we're confronted with a new reality. It's like when you get into a car wreck. Like if you get into a car wreck, that is a disruption, and you are never the same.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether or not we say, I can't wait till normal gets back, even if we go back to normal, you're not normal. We've all changed.
Yeah.
And because we've all changed, we have to figure out what is a new normal and how do we leverage what we have as really opportunity.
Yeah, and that's interesting you say that. We've been talking about this a lot today because everybody's been impacted by this differently. You know, right. Like you're in Omaha, Nebraska, we're in Tampa. Some people listen to this are in New York City. You might be in California and different parts of the country now, like parts are opening up, like Florida is very much open right now. This week, gyms even opened up. Barbershops and salons have been open since last week. Restaurants are now up to 50% from 25% last week. So, it's people that are starting to get back to life here and back to normal. And the cases are lower here, much lower than a lot of other places. But so, you know, in our church, we have a few thousand people connected to our church. There's only one person that we know of from our church that's been affected by COVID, and praise God, she recovered.
Man.
But I know other churches, like a friend of mine, Michael Carrion up from the Bronx.
Yeah, bro.
You know, he's got a church of a few hundred in the Bronx, but he's had like, last I think the count was at least 10, 12 people that have died from his church, and then many others that have been sick. And so, you know, so his experience with it and the way he feels is going to be much different than the way we've experienced it. And so, and then people that know people that were sick, I got a lot of people in my church that are New Yorkers. So although we haven't been hit hard here, they have family or friends that have been sick. And so they're still connected to it. And so they're a lot more cautious versus some people are just like, they just want things to go back to normal.
Right.
It's not going to be normal. So trying to navigate that as leaders, realize, you know, I'm working on that, even amongst not just my church, but even my leadership team. We've got all kinds of different sensitivities and feelings, and some people may have health issues. And so they're, you know, especially sensitive, which they should be. They need to be extra careful. So having to navigate that. And of course, as leaders, we just want to go.
Right.
You know, not saying we want to reopen, but we want to get forward with the mission. But this is just, man, there's so many things about this that is, you know, made us have to pivot in many ways. And it's been challenging, been exhausting at moments. And so I want to encourage leaders that are out there right now, like, you're not alone in this. Like, talk to other leaders about it.
Right.
Find a safe place to vent, talk through things, pray.
Yes, sir.
It's been challenging. And because both of us, we lead multi-ethnic churches that are diverse, we've got such a diversity because this is divided even amongst economics, politics, race, ethnicity. And so there's so many different views even in our congregations.
Right.
Pastor, you should do this.
My goodness.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, he touched him. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, bro.
Like you're a leper or something.
You on that side of the couch. I'm on this side. But so, yeah, we especially need wisdom in this season. It definitely is. It's a disruption, bro.
Yeah,
it is, man. So talk to us, man, about your book that you came out with called Digital Ministry, Pastoring in the Middle of a Pandemic. And that thing actually went to number one on some of the Amazon charts for like church leadership and discipleship. And so, man, that's a blessing, bro.
You know what's crazy, bro?
Like, I got a bestseller sitting on my couch the podcast. What?
I always said I was going to be a bestseller, bro.
Look at you,
like,
dog.
It's amazing. You're your own best prophet, I think.
Come on, man.
In terms of hearing from the voice of God. But, like, one of the things, bro, even before that book came out, I wrote another book before COVID. It came out this year, bro.
This guy's a book machine.
Hey, before this year, guess what it was? I think it was a prophetic. Now that didn't sell. Probably it only sold a couple. I don't know, maybe a couple copies. I don't know. But I think it was a prophetic word to the church, bro.
Yeah.
Because God put it in my heart. And it was a response, actually, to an organization that I wanted to work with. Said, hey, I think I could help scale this organization. And she said, well, most of my board, they're all over 50. And I'm trying to convince them. So I said, I tell you what, I'm going to write a book just for them.
Wow.
So I wrote a book. Here's what it was. Why social media should be your number one strategy. 2 months later, COVID-19 hit, bro.
Wow.
And then it was like, okay, all right, God. And then I was like, when COVID-19 hit, I love the parable of the virgins who trimmed their oil. Some were ready, some weren't. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect illustration, bro, because when COVID-19 hit, bro, our oil was already trimmed. It was already trimmed because we had already had a digital presence. We had already had strategy in place. We were already talking what church looks like. And so here I am, a digital marketer and a church planner. Like when one person has both of those hats, and all of a sudden I'm in a room with my pastors and I'm like, yo, man, like, what do you think about this? And they're like, what do you mean? Hey, what do you mean? What do you think? Like, I'm like, man, is this going to be in there? Like, we just need to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right. And so in the middle of it, I saw all these pastors freaking out, bro. And I was like, man, I just want to help the church.
Yeah.
And so I sat and I kicked that book out, bro. And I didn't know that it would impact that many people and be a really good resource for helping pastors navigate what it means to be a pastor or a leader and what it means to be the church in an isolated quarantine world like we're in right now.
What's a couple of key points in the book that you touch on?
Yeah, I think I talk about a lot of times you hear when things happen, we get restricted and we don't see any options, we forget and deviate from opportunity. And so we all know, like, all right, cool. When you're in an organization and you're trying to get better, what do? You look at your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, your threats. And I think the one thing that comes that gets a blind eye is, okay, what are our opportunities? In other words, not what can't we do, but what can we do? Hmm. And so in the book, I try to help pastors navigate socially what it means. So here's one of the things. So Mike Todd, right? Stephen Furtick, all them big dudes, right?
Yeah.
Big followings. If I'm honest, and if we all honest, I sometimes compare myself to other pastors. And, well, their churches is big.
Yeah.
Right? And I was out walking by myself, social distancing. And the Lord said, He spoke to my heart and He's like, you've always wanted to be a mega church pastor, but where did that get you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not a mega church pastor. He's like, no, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Your church went from 300 to thousands of people.
Yep.
Overnight.
How's it feel?
And I'm like, nothing. I don't feel any better.
Yeah.
Right. So seriously, bro, the Lord really shifted my mindset. He's like, you're a mega church pastor. And why do we often quantify what mega church is based on a geographical location? Mm-hmm. Digital is also a location.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay.
It is the location.
It is the location. So what it has done is it has increased my responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. And so I talk about shift and how we have to make the shift from thinking primarily about a physical gathering location to, listen, bro, we don't have an overflow problem now.
Yep.
We're not even having conversations about capacity.
Yeah, you were having those conversations with me a couple months ago.
Remember when I hit you up?
Yeah, back in January.
I hit you up, didn't I?
You're like, man, I think we're going to have to go to a third service.
Right.
you know, maybe it was February because I just went to your church in January and saw it.
Because I was asking you about it. Yeah. I'm like, bro, what should I do? Should I do, you know what I mean?
We were talking about the times, what's the sweet spot time. Now it's like anytime.
Right. For real. Know.
Yeah, man.
So, wow. So I was talking about us going to three services. We actually went to four services, bro.
Wow.
So I talk about that shift and how to identify opportunity and then some practical things to help accelerate the platforms, you know, church is on and how to navigate that and so forth.
That's dope. So check it out. Digital ministry. And how much is that? It's like
$3.99.
$3.99. Come on.
Come on, man. Stop playing with your life, man. Like, listen. and then if you just go to MeyerPitch.com, I also have like on my resource page a free digital cheat sheet. So like get the digital cheat sheet and that kind of just help you navigate as a pastor. Like a lot of pastors, a lot of them aren't on social or maybe aren't on for a variety of reasons or aren't on as much. They just don't know where to start. And so I just kind of give you a little cheat sheet on what to do, how to get started, but download it. It's for free.
Well, yo, you've also planted during COVID-19 digi churches.
Yeah, bro.
Like church, you're still church planting, but you're planting digi churches. And now like you planted even way more and pushed way more guys out there to do ministry than if everything was still physical.
Bro, can I be honest with you? I'm going to keep it 100. So God gave us a vision, right?
Yeah.
To saturate every inner city in America with diverse Hope Field churches, right? That's kind of like the big thing. I honestly, honest to God, thought that had never happened in my lifetime.
Yeah, it sounds impossible. Like a pipe dream.
Like a
sounds
real.
Great. I would love it and cheer for it, but
and people kind of look at you like, oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going.
Yeah,
happen.
Yeah, good luck.
Myron dreaming again.
Yeah. And so I thought maybe it was my kids' kids, fourth generation type stuff. When COVID hit, and the Lord showed me the opportunity to plant churches digitally, I thought, okay, this could actually happen in my lifetime. No, it could for real happen, you know. And so about 6 months ago, I tracked how many inner cities are in America that I've counted.
How many?
My last count was like 450 inner cities plagued by crime, violence, top 10 in poverty. Wow. So 450 in America. I'm sure there's more.
Yeah.
And so when I looked that up, I went to my team and I said, I think we could plant digital churches in the hood. And then I went to the second church we planted a couple years ago and to my guy, Ron Smith. And I was like, hey man, let me talk to you about Digi Church. And he's like, what? Like Acts 8:1, the scattered church.
Yeah.
Digitally. And I walked him through it. And bro, all of a sudden the light bulb went off. Before I ever even told anybody, I launched a campus. I didn't tell anybody. I just launched a campus in Kansas City with our church planting resident. Mm-hmm. So we went Kansas City. We went from Kansas City to Brixton, London, the south side of Brixton, London. It's like the hood. We went to Harare, Zimbabwe, Hyde Park in St. Louis, Chicago.
So how many have you done now, bro?
The last count was like, I think 8, and then we're launching like 3 or 4 more this month. So we're up to 10.
Right, so I want to ask a few questions and drill down on it. I know some people got questions out there like me. Digi Church, you launched 8 churches in the last 2 months. Most people don't launch 8 churches in 10 years, right? Because I mean, to launch a church, first of all, you think about the funding. You know, like if you want to launch a church, you got to
300,000.
Yeah. $250,000 at least. Right. If you want to do it right and you got to hire some people and find a location, get all the equipment, even if you're portable, you know, it's a lot. So how much does it cost? And then when you say like launch it, like how do you target that area?
That's good, bro. That's good. Let me say this. I hold loosely to methods.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is a method.
Yeah. And it's still brand new, so it's going to evolve.
Yeah, it's going to evolve. I mean, we could talk about this another time, but I launched a virtual reality church. We'll talk about that long time.
All right.
A church in VR is crazy. Wow. So budget, less than $100.
Did y'all hear that? Less than $100. Planted 8 churches for less than a G.
For real, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got to think about it. You're not renting. The only thing that you're renting is space on hosting, a website hosting on your website.
Yeah.
And that's a nice little rent fee. It's like $20 a year. Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, man. So what I did, bro, I was like, okay, I think we got something. So I launched a conference called Launching Digital Churches.
Yeah.
Bro, we had over 50 leaders from around the country. Out of that came conversations with the Southern Baptists, the Wesleyans, our own tribe, the CMA. And now people are legitimately considering what digital church looks like.
Yeah.
Our second daughter church, bro, turned his whole staff into digi church planters. That's actually how our daughter church just went ham and was like, we going after this thing.
Yeah.
And then I thought, man, okay, how do we do it faster? And I'm like, okay, I looked around, I'm like, who do I have? Okay, well, I have a church planting resident. What better way to give him some reps, you know what I'm saying? And to end the game. You know what I mean? And it's, bro, it's just been beautiful. And obviously we're still learning, but we're reaching thousands and thousands of people. And it's just beautiful, bro, what God is doing.
So let me ask this. So if you're going to plant, like you said, you planted in this hood neighborhood in London,
how did I do it
digitally? I want to wrap my mind around, like, how did you launch there? Did you target social media?
Yes.
And do some ads?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you said it costs less than $100, but what if you had $500 or $1,000 that you could pour into some social media ads and some marketing, or maybe, you know, if there's people in that community, obviously you're partnering with, and there's some like physical presence in some way, shape, or form. I don't know.
Well, let me give you.
My mind is already thinking, like, how can we really maximize that and really reach a lot of people there?
Yeah. So let me give you a practical way how we did it.
Yeah.
All right. So I looked at Brixton. I know a little bit about London. I was in London last year. I ended up lost on the south side of town. It's like the hood, bro. Like, you know how people getting gunned down? They get knifed down in London, for real.
Wow. Right. Like, and we need to plant a church here.
Yeah. So I'm like, we need to plant a church. So, I know where I was. So I actually, I created something called Digi Funnels.
Yeah.
And a digi funnel is a fancy,
yo, that's crazy.
A digi funnel is a fancy word for a sales funnel.
Yeah.
In marketing, when businesses,
click funnel for churches.
Yeah, it definitely is. Basically, I took the same philosophy, click funnels for churches, Russell Brunson, all his stuff, and I appropriated it to the church planting world. And I said, okay, at the top, what's the first thing that I need to do when you're planting a church? The number one thing you got to do first, you got to pray like crazy. Then you have to start reaching out. You have to do outreach. So in my digi funnel is what I call a testimony ad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I identify a specific location in the hood and I run ads like crazy, sharing my story.
Mm.
Right. And so once I share my story and it reach about 20,000 people, that's a nice pool of people.
Yeah.
And then the next thing. So what I'm trying to do there is I'm just trying to get them to engage with me.
Yeah.
Right. So as people engage with me, it opens up the door for me to have a conversation with them. So if somebody say, oh, wow, that's a powerful, I'm doing it right now. We launched a church in Accra, Ghana. I'm doing it right now. And there's so many people, some people could get on there and say something stupid, like, you can't be a pastor, you got a ring in your mouth. You know what I mean? They say dumb stuff like that. Call me a sissy, whatnot. But it's fun, you know? So I run this ad, they're engaging. And then once I see 15, 20,000 people, my next part in the funnel is what I call a ministry ad, right? I stole that from a dude from Guts Church. Cause he's doing some stuff like that. What I'm doing there is I'm asking, how can I pray for you?
Yeah.
And then
so you're engaging them, then you're trying to get some comments and some feedback.
And once they respond via Messenger, then as soon as they respond, I have your information. Mm-hmm. Now you're on my email system.
Yeah.
And then I pray for you. And then after I pray for you, all this is after I do the, you know, the testimony ad, I'm retargeting the same, that same 20,000 people.
Yeah.
So they're no longer a cold audience. They're a warm audience. They've heard my story. Right. And we know the gospel went viral because they heard the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So now I'm ministering to them. I can't tell you how many, bro, we pray for hundreds of people, bro, a week. Right. And so we get their information. And then the last step in the funnel is a plan your visit ad.
Yeah.
And that's when I retarget them. I just did a retarget today in my own city and say, hey, it's Pastor Myron again. Hope you're doing well. Still been praying for you. Right. I'm retargeting them. Mm-hmm. Hey, this Sunday we're gathering together digitally. We'd love for you to come hang out with us. Plan your visit. Let me know you're coming. Right. So I do a little video like that. And then after I do the video, boom, I push it out on ads. And
what has been your digital plan, your visit, like response? How many people have you been getting as visitors? Cause I know before you were, we had talked about this before. And, by the way, like Myron has a great system with helping churches with planning your visit. But what does that look like digitally for you?
Yeah, we're still getting the same amount of people.
About the same?
That are planning, wow. If not more.
Yeah.
That's why when you were like, yo, have you got a slump in your people coming and joining you for worship? And I'm like, no, why? Because I have a funnel.
Yeah.
Right? And as long as you keep working that funnel. Now, other people with big names, they don't need that funnel, right? People are just going to come. But us little guys, we do. And so it's just been perfect. Now, it doesn't stop there when they come through the doors of our digital auditorium. That's mm-hmm. That's just the beginning.
Yeah.
As they worship with us, there's always a next step. So their next step is joining our community, right? Which is our Facebook group. So we push everybody to a community.
Yeah.
Right. And in that community, we legitly do life. Like we have events going on. We have a comedy night coming up. Like in our community, we have 1,800 people in our community.
Wow.
So we got, last time I checked, 7,000 people that join us for worship. Mm-hmm. Right. Then we have 1,800 people who are part of our community.
Wow.
Right. And then right there, that's not the only, that's not the last step.
You're a mega church, Pastor Myron.
For real. And it's like, you know what I mean? God's like, what did that do for you? But now it's like, okay, let's drive them towards discipleship now.
Yeah.
So once you get in our community, the next step for you.
What's the next step after that?
Yep. A discipleship group.
Okay.
Yep. A mission group.
Awesome. Yep.
And so once you get into a mission group, then you're on a whole new ladder to a whole new destination. We have a new pathway for you to go.
Wow. I don't know about y'all, but like my head feels like it's going to explode with all these ideas right now.
I talked to a mega church pastor. I said, hey, yo, why don't you turn all your small group leaders into pastors? Mm. A church of 300 small groups.
Wow.
I said, you can have 300 churches in your city overnight. All they need to be is trained. And you have to figure out what your minimal ecclesiology is.
Mm. Yeah, you know who's been amazing at empowering people with small groups? Saddleback Church, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Rick Warren, he's got more people going to groups than
certainly
come to service. Yeah, so they've been great at that. And I've had some communication with their team during this. And, you know, they're doing great. And, you know, they're in California, too. So it's going to be a while. So when you think you're coming back, we'll probably be some of the last ones to come back. We got great systems in place. We're not in a rush.
Right.
You know, versus there's other churches that have just been, you know, struggling and they're just waiting for it to get back to normal.
Yeah.
But it ain't coming back to normal. And a lot of churches that have started back, you know, we're filming this on May 22nd. But a lot of churches that I've heard that have come back, their attendance is only 25 to 30% of what it was before because they're not ready yet.
Right.
A lot of people they're not there yet. So if you're rushing to get back, like it's not going to be the results you may think it's going to be probably, you know, unless you're the outlier or the anomaly. Right. But hey, We're going to go get some food here in a minute, man. My wife is cooking, man.
Man.
She's cooking some Puerto Rican food for you, bro. It's going to be good, man.
Come on, man.
But so I got one more question for you, though. And thanks for doing this for part two, bro. And this is in person, man. This is great.
Come on.
So you just came out with another book. And I don't know how this guy does it. He's just like pumping books out like every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he wrote this book on sabbatical. So I don't even understand how it's sabbatical if you're writing a book. But anyways, I'm a minister to him.
Why you
going to
say that?
I'm playing, man. It's a 1 month sabbatical. I'll be writing a book too, man.
Man, I'm getting bored, bro.
I need something to do, right?
For real.
So you just recently, your latest book is called Black and White, How Reconciliation Can Save America. And you wrote it right after the news hit about Ahmaud.
And
that whole deal. So talk to us a little bit about that book. And then I just want to, for a couple minutes, man, I want to talk about justice and reconciliation.
Well, man, so our churches are both multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic, like, and so we eat, breathe, unity, diversity.
Yep.
That's not the case for America. I think the last time we checked, diverse churches in America is maybe up to 8-9%, I think.
Yeah.
And so
they say multi-ethnic churches are at close to 20%, but that definition is that there's 20% diversity.
Right.
That's not that diverse. There's still a big majority.
Right.
So it's really probably about 9-10%.
Yeah. So there's a chasm, right? There's such a distance. And which tells me we have a long way to go in how we empathize with when lives are cut short.
Yep.
And we have a large group of people who, that's the majority, who don't know what they don't know. And I literally, bro, when I saw the video, I just, like, the only thing I can say to that is the next day I was out on a walk. And I'm literally walking.
Yeah.
And homegirl, I'm walking that way, she walking, and homegirl literally leaves the sidewalk and walks into the street. And then when she passes me, gets back on the sidewalk.
Wow.
And when the worship dude who got killed and gunned down in his own house, mm-hmm. right? Remember that? When that news broke, I had got a knock at the door that night, right? I was scared to answer my door, bro.
Yeah.
And so I think what we sometimes don't realize, even as people of color, is when things happen like that in our culture, traumatically, it does something to us.
Yeah. It brings back all kinds of memories.
Bro, it brings it all the way up. You know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, so I just kind of just typed up a little, I blogged about it. I think writing is a great way to process grief.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of processed it. And when I processed it or began to process it, people started responding to it. They were like, man, thank you. And so that really ignited, man, I want to start another conversation mm-hmm. on unity and reconciliation. I think it's the heart of the gospel.
Yeah.
And wanting to remind myself and leaders that although painful and although sometimes we feel hopeless, I think it still requires us as leaders to do what people like King did. He from the Birmingham jail, he writes a letter. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, man, like he writes a letter to his white brothers.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, like, you want us to wait for what God has already told us we can have. Hmm. And we're not going to do it. And so I think it's just an added piece to the conversation, because one of the things I hear people say, specifically white folk, they like, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
We want to do something. And one of the things I address in the book, that's a great sentiment. In chapter 10, I give a whole list of things you can do.
Oh, that's good, bro.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Yeah. It's practical, bro.
Yeah.
Because people want to know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, too. The next question was, what are some solutions to this? Like, I know there's people listening that are even like, okay, so I know we're supposed to pray.
Right.
You know, and I know we're supposed to speak up, you know, and church, you know, our church many times has spoken up about it. And, you know, we did a whole series called Woke Church in the fall last year, 6 weeks that we went through Eric Mason's book. Shout out to Eric Mason, dope book called Woke Church. And we did a think tank, and that's continuing to happen, like a think tank to how can we address racism and reconciliation in our community in different categories, like with education and with housing and with, you know, entrepreneurship and, you know, a lot of different areas, and people in our church that might be experts in those areas. Another area was health, you know, because there's a big disparity with health and race. And we're seeing that played out with COVID. People of color have been impacted way more because a lot of people of color don't have adequate health care.
Yeah.
Or they don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't eat healthy. And there's a lot of pre-existing conditions. And so when a virus comes along, you know, if you've already got high blood pressure, hypertension, you're overweight, whatever, like you're going to be more susceptible for it to hit you. So, but yeah, so what, tell us a couple, what are some solutions? Like what can the church, what can believers do besides pray?
So one of the things, bro, as senior leaders, you know, when you launch a church, there's, let's say if you have a church of 300, you probably have 6 or 7 staff positions, depending on your budget, right?
Yeah.
If that. The other group of people in your church all have regular jobs, right?
Yeah, in the marketplace.
They're in the marketplace. The church needs to become a hub for mobilizing everyday missionaries.
Yeah.
Because when our congregations are asking what should we do, it's an indication that we haven't trained them to, number one, think critically, strategically.
That's good.
And as missionaries.
Yep.
So as senior leaders, we got to go back to the drawing board and say, it's time to mobilize our people. They have gifting. They have desires. They have problems that they can solve. They're witty. They're educated. They're influential. And we haven't unleashed the beast within our own churches.
Yeah.
And so big picture, senior leaders, it's time to mobilize our people again. It's time to help them to discover their divine design so that they can actually help address the injustice in our country. So I think that's a big overarching thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did at the end of the book is the power of cohort. So when I launched the book, I also launched a community with it.
Okay.
Because people need community.
Yep. We learn process. Community.
We're learning community. So what can you do? Who are you connected to that's having an honest conversation where you can feel safe to talk, safe to feel like you just don't know, safe to ask questions, right? And so we form this community. Like, so I'd say, okay, what community are you a part of that's having this conversation? If they're not, you got to find one.
Yeah.
Right. You got to find a community. And so out of that community, we're launching a cohort so that we can learn together. Mm-hmm. Like when we're culturally incompetent, we're more prone to re-injure people with injustice.
Oh, man, that's good.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so we're going through this 4-week cohort, bro, right? Through my book.
Yeah.
Now, number one, it costs to get in the cohort. Mm-hmm. Here's why.
You got to have some skin in the game.
Yep. But also, we take 10% of the proceeds, and it goes towards an injustice in the inner city.
Mm.
What kind of injustice is all kind? But my lane is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So we're giving 10% back to entrepreneurs who's getting trained up to own companies in the hood.
Yeah.
So we're addressing the equity issue, right?
Yeah.
So practically, look at the skill set that you have and figure out a way to add value to the conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Another thing I talk about, bro, that's big and I'm still recovering is if we're going to address things that are happening in our community, we have to take a self inventory of how we're aiding and abetting tokenism.
Yeah.
So I go and I meet a white person for the first time and they say, yeah, I have a friend. His name is Brandon. Brandon is amazing. And they like automatically want to justify or make sure they don't want to be perceived as being racist or by telling me that they have a black friend.
Yeah.
But what that does is create distance, because it shows me you haven't yet, number one, fully accepted who you are, but number two, you haven't fully accepted who I am. Mm-hmm. And so tokenism says, tokenism says, let's just get a person of color and let's appear to be somebody we're not. Right. And I think what happens is when we appear to be somebody we're not, we end up being inauthentic, which doesn't leave room for us influencing people. And so if you're going to be my friend, be my friend, because you know what I mean? Yeah. I had this revelation. Jesus wasn't just a friend of sinners because he wanted to save them. He was a friend of sinners because he loved them.
Yeah. Cared about them personally.
He cared about them personally, bro. Like other practical things, like where do you shop?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get your sneakers? Like where do you get your gear? Like where do you eat?
Yeah, who are you supporting?
Who are you supporting? And so, I give a whole list of things, bro, in chapter 10 that's pretty practical that people can do to really navigate personally what you can do.
That's making me think too. I know you helped that organization start in your city that what's it called, like reparations?
Yes.
Whatever, man. Tell me about that. It helps minority
so
businesses get popped off. So talk about that really quick.
So this is an example of a guy. He's a Christian.
Yep.
He's talented. He's gifted. He has skills in art and branding and design, right? So we were having a conversation one day and he was like, reparations came up, which by the way, I got a bad email. Somebody said, you should not have started an organization called reparations.
Call it that.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, man, I really want to help people of color. Like he said, my grandfather and your grandfather, they were on different terms, but we can change that.
Yeah.
And he said, man, I want to give back. I said, well, let's do it. He said, well, I'm going to use my gifts, right? And I'm going to, for free, allow people of color who need a logo, who need branding.
That's huge.
Right. All they got to do is submit the request. If you're a business leader or a pastor, or a church planner, organizational leader, and you need any type of branding work, any type of design work, and we just add another person to the team. If you want to write a book and you need somebody to edit your book, we have somebody on our squad.
How many people's on that team now?
Two.
Okay.
Yep, it's two. So it's growing, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we're always looking for more people who say, man, I want to use my talents. Bro, it is powerful. If you go to reparationsinc.org and look at all the books and organizations and businesses that have been helped.
Wow.
You know, it's just been amazing. So that's just an example.
That's
of
real life impact, yeah, bro.
For real.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So much good stuff, man. So Myron Pierce, check out those books, man. Black and White and Digital Ministry.
Yes, sir.
Pastoring in the Pandemic. So Myron, man, why don't you pray for just the church, pray for our country as it goes to just all the division there is right now. That's already been there, but it's being exposed even more so because of COVID, like we talked about. It's over political lines, racial lines, economic lines. Let's just pray for unity and that the church will rise up during this time and be that reconciler that we're supposed to be.
Yeah, for sure. Father, thank you for a time with my brother and this amazing audience. God, thank you for this platform to learn from one another and to be encouraged. Lord, thank you for this tribe. We need this. Lord, thank you for Pastor Tommy and how he's really provided a platform for many leaders in the urban context to feel like we have a place to just be. And Lord, as we be, I ask you that you would help us do the work of reconciliation.
Yeah.
As the church in the United States of America, we ask you, God, that you would use the church, your bride, your mechanism for change and transformation. Would you give us ideas? Would we be like the sons and daughters of Issachar who were able to understand the times.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you that Jesus is our wisdom. And Lord, we have this invitation from you that if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask from God. And so, Lord, we don't pretend to have all the answers. We know you do. Help us to continue to be practitioners. Help us to learn. Help us to innovate. Help us to take risk and help us to draw from that well of life, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for our time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Man, I love talking to that brother. He's become a great, great friend of mine. And even though he's younger than me, there's things I'm learning from him. I look up to him in different ways. And man, exciting. He's a beast, man. He's writing like books left and right. So definitely go and check out his latest book. It's a book that our country needs right now more than ever. Black and White, How Reconciliation Can Save America. Check it out. Listen, if you guys enjoy the podcast, please go and subscribe to it. Rate it. Leave a comment. Share it on your social media. Let some other people know about it. We want to continue to see this thing grow and have a platform for our tribe where you're able to meet people like Myron Pierce and you're able to, you know, hear different perspectives and get inspired and hear new ideas. That's the whole idea behind this podcast is we want to empower leaders in ministry, in music, and in the marketplace. So let some other people know about it. And hey, next week, we're actually going to flip up the flow a little bit because this is urban. It's not just hip hop. But we're going to talk to a sister that is in the most popular, most well-known Christian reggae group out there, Christafari. You've probably heard of them or heard some of their music or got some of their music. If you don't, man, go check them out. They're amazing. But I got to talk to Nikita Carter of Christafari. And she was an intern at Crossover Church, found Jesus at Crossover, and we sent her out as a missionary. So here's a little glimpse of next week.
So since 2012, since the model has changed, we've seen, honestly, exponentially an increase of seeing more decisions for Christ. And I think that also is because we're going to more places, which means more outreaches, which means more people, and so which means more people are hearing the good news and have an ability, right, to respond. So one of the goals that Pastor Martin Moore has said he would like to see at least 1 million converts within the next 5 years. And honestly, I think it's actually maybe even going to happen before, because last year alone, in 12 months, we went to 30 nations. Yeah. And so that allows you to speak to so many different places where we sometimes see per trip 100,000 converts estimate, right? And so when you add that up over 30 nations, it starts growing more and more. And I think that also has to do with the type of missions work we get to do is we're constantly in front of people because of crowds, right? Concert base, which brings a lot of people. The attraction, the bait is really, right? The music, the hook is the reggae, people love the reggae, but then the real meat is, hey, we're gonna give you the good news, and that's why we are here to do. And that's why we always say when people book us that try to do concerts to make tickets, we're like, no, we don't want ticket sales because we don't do it, you know, for the sales, we do it for the souls.
So guys, you definitely want to tune in next week with Christafari, Nikita Carter. They have this masterclass session that's starting in the month of June, and everything's absolutely free. So you want to lean in and be on the podcast next week and find out about that. She's going to share some of the details of how you can learn more about touring and sound mixing and dance and music and fundraising. And there's so many. They have 40 different master classes that they're offering for absolutely free. So that's going to be a great resource to the Flavor Fest family. So, hey guys, if you want to find out more information about the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Conference, you can go over to flavorfest.org. And it is going to be our 20-year anniversary this October, the 22nd through the 25th. And so, hey, you want to bring your team, you want to be here, Tampa, Florida, stay tuned for the details. We're releasing more of them all the time on the website, on our social media platforms. So, hey, we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.